of 10 cats, the American dream. It's Reginald D. Hunter. You can count on her. It's Rachel Riley. And their team captain, Sean Locke. And facing them tonight, it's Gemma Collins. Just joshing, it's Josh Whitcomb. And their team captain, John Richardson. Now, welcome your host, Jimmy Cobb.
Hello, and welcome to 8 out of 10 Cats, a show about opinion polls, surveys, and statistics. Did you know, for example, 25% of couples say they experiment in the bedroom? We do. Last week, we put the chest of drawers next to the window and the cupboard over by the shoe rack. Like to keep it fresh. 35% of single women worry they've missed the boat by holding out for Mr. Perfect. Don't worry, ladies, you can have Mr. Perfect if that's what you call one of your many cats. And 1 in 10 people would rather meet a date online first. If you think chatting online lets you get to know the real person before a date, you've clearly never turned up at an amusement arcade clutching a bunch of balloons, only to discover you've been chatting to an undercover child protection officer who fortunately was a big fan of the show, so it all turned out OK. Right, let's get started. What are you talking about? That's the name of our first round. It's our panelist's job to guess the British public's top three most popular talking points. Sean's team, what do you think people have been talking about this week?
Yeah, European Championships. I reckon they're talking about that. I mean, a lot of people are talking about that.
Quieter than normal, though. It's not as much. I reckon everyone's getting ready for the Olympics.
Everyone's waiting for the racism to kick off. That's why it's quiet. Because there's been so much lead up to it that the fact that it's haven't. It's like if you had a party and you had a massive balloon and you just held a pin next to it like that. And he went, how's the party? Is everyone enjoying the party? Everyone would really be thinking, when are you going to burst that fucking balloon? I'm going to cry when that happens.
How scared are you of a balloon bursting?
You're telling me you don't have an ounce of fear when someone's blowing a balloon and they get to that point where the colours started to fade and it's too big and you want to say to him, it's big enough, stop!
John, that's when I hold my eyelids open and walk right up to the balloon.
The only time I've got interest in football is when Peter Crouch and David Beckham are playing, and basically
such a weird myth.
That famous heartthrob, Peter Crouch.
That dance he does.
That's not it.
You're the only one.
You're thinking of Dressage.
I love Spurs. That's who I support.
Right.
And they're not playing, are they, in the Euros?
They're not playing in the Euros. No,
As a Spurs fan, you'll know that the Spurs manager left this week. His name was
Jose Mourinho.
Jose Mourinho. Jose Mourinho. He's got quite a Cockney accent now. He's really picked up English, Jose Mourinho.
Who is it? Harry Redknapp.
Harry Redknapp.
That's it. I love Harry. I love Harry.
You know what I didn't like about the match against France was it started at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, which means I have to watch it with my kids, which ruins it because they just ask loads and loads of questions. So it starts off, it goes, who's in the white shirts? You go, that's England. Oh, we live in England, don't we? Yes. Who's in the blue shirts? That's France. Why is he wearing yellow? He's the referee. What does he do? He tells all the rules. What are the rules? You can't pick the ball up. Why is that man picking the ball up? He's the England goalkeeper. England? Why is he wearing green? You go, oh. In the end, I just recorded it and put happy feet on. I've got my own back. You go, why is that penguin talking? They can't knit scarves.
There's a new player that I didn't know, the 18-year-old from, is it Arsenal? Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Oxlade-Chamberlain.
He can actually form sentences and everything. I watched an interview with him and it was like, this is an England footballer. He's
His
really articulate and he can speak. It's amazing.
Someone's got a crush.
He's got a great name, Oxlade Chamberlain. It sounds like a fold-away bicycle. Yes. I commute with my Oxlade Chamberlain. I'm ready to ride.
I think he's 18. He must be gutted.
He's 22, isn't he?
No, he's 18.
He's the youngest player apart from Rooney to play in the Euros.
Is he? I think.
This guy's doing the sticker, Sean. I wouldn't question him on Euros. Right.
Has anyone got their swaps?
You're not actually collecting the stickers, are you?
Yes.
The Panini stickers book.
Yeah, but I didn't want it to come out like this. I thought I'd at least entice a girl back to my bedroom before I brought out my swaps.
How many do you need now?
How many do I need? 250 stickers and one girlfriend. Does anyone have the England shiny?
It's dreadful, the shiny. It's not the official badge because it's not licensed because we go with Merlin. But I'm not doing the stickers because I'm cool. Weirdo alert.
Are you doing the stickers?
John
as well?
Is doing the stickers. I've swapped with John.
You're collecting the stickers.
I am acquiring stickers.
I can't believe you two are collecting stickers. You're grown men.
Me and Josh were together in Greenwich last week, weren't we?
Yeah.
And we went on the hunt for stickers.
Do they have any stats on, or is it just the pictures of the blokes?
Oh, now she's interested.
I've got an Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain.
I need that. I see how Walcott, I'll swap you.
Oh.
This may be the most tragic thing I've ever heard.
It's pretty much what the news agent said when I said he'd be in the stickers, and he just looked at both of us and went, no.
What's the pleasure of it?
The pleasure is in the putting the stickers exactly in the lines.
I think if it was scratch cards, it'd be worth it, but not what you're doing.
You look at me like I'm filthy, like I've just admitted that I like to shit on dead hedgehogs or something. I think what you're doing is just a little bit... I mean, if it was... Why is a scratch card better than a sticker book?
Because you, like...
I like the way you've got really outraged.
Why is that really bad?
Hey, a scratch card's a pound and a packet of stickers is 50p, so financially I'm up straight away. When you scratch a scratch card, you throw it away, you've been it. When I collect a sticker, that's in my book and I've got that forever.
John started this conversation by pretending he didn't collect the stickers. And now it's come out, he's the biggest ambassador for them in Britain.
Here's an amazing statistic. Going into this tournament in the Euros, England have never won their first game, have never beaten Sweden in a competitive match, and have never beaten the host of the tournament.
I learned that in a sticker book.
Well, let's have a look and see whether Euro 2012 is one of the most talked about things this week. Of course. Yes, Euro 2012. At the time of recording, we don't know the result of the England-Sweden match, so to be safe, I'll do two versions. Bad luck, England, and well done, Sweden. John, what else are the nation be talking about this week?
It must be Leveson. It's been like steps the reunion there this week. These old figures, John Major's back, and Gordon Brown's back, and you look at them and you think, oh, I'm glad you left.
We've got Gemma here for a reason. Gemma, the Leveson inquiry.
I'll be honest, I don't know what it's all about. Is this about the politicians being corrupt, three of them? Weren't they bribed and paid off? I do know about this.
I hope that to thing? God you are called to the Leveson inquiry. That would be the best TV of all time.
Is Levington a place, then?
Is Levington a place? Yeah. Well, this is the Leveson inquiry.
I'm starting to realise the true consequence. If the only way is Essex, we are all knackered.
I'm from Essex as well, leave me alone.
You're from Essex.
I'm from Essex, yeah.
What do you think of Leveson inquiry?
But they're all contradicting each other, so it's a bit pointless, because they're supposed to tell the truth, and it's probably illegal for them to lie in this inquiry. But then they're completely, one saying this happened, the other one saying it definitely didn't happen.
No, but if the Rebecca Wade thing, she keeps coming out and saying, one day the truth about all this will come out. And you go, well, yeah, that's why we're here. That's why you're in trouble, because the truth will slowly come out.
I always find it funny when, especially when in certain inquiries, when the government decides that it will investigate itself. It's like if your wife comes up to you and says, have you been cheating? I don't know, baby. I think I'm going to investigate myself. And then I'm going to file a report about 2,200 pages. You read through it, you tell me if you think.
The thing about Leveson now is it's been going on ages, and actually we're starting to realise now that the consequences of the press being cleaned up is that you don't get the stories that you used to. And celebrities can get away with anything now because they're not allowed to intercept their messages. So the celebrities all over the country just leaving filthy messages. We had Jenny Bond on last week, and after the record she asked if she could have my number. And she told me it was for a panel show thing. the filth. I dread checking my answer phone out. You have 12 new messages. Oh. Just all at like 2, 3 in the morning. So I'm going to do this, I'm going to stick that in a... I've never heard the likes.
Sticker in an album, is it?
Yeah. John, I'm going to steal your stickers.
Just put it in upside down. I can tell you that the Leveson inquiry is not in our top three. But David Cameron told the inquiry there was no nod and a wink arrangement between the Tories and News International, whilst vigorously nodding and winking. OK, still two more things to get. Fingers on buzzers. OK, Sean.
Is it gay marriage? Or garage, as I like to call it. The church are concerned about it, that they'll be forced to marry gay people in churches. It's like they've thought, this is the thin end of the wedge. What next? Horses?
Don't 80% of people under 50, are they supposed to be for gay marriage? So why don't... What's the problem?
Yeah, just get over it.
It's the problem they've got is they've got a very, very diminishing congregation. People say churches are half empty. They're not. They're too big. They should be like little, you know, tea huts. You know, if you go on the outside of a town, they've got those big retail sheds like Halfords. But like having one of those for a key cutter. You know, it's just a bloke sitting there with a key cutting machine, this massive big shed. It's not the appropriate building for the marketplace.
Well, what do you make of this, Reg, the gay marriage thing?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you are like a gay enthusiast.
I would describe myself as a gay enthusiast, yeah.
If you are a gay enthusiast, you probably would more enjoy the company of other gay enthusiasts. So
you make it sound like a hobby.
Well, they make it look like it's fun. So
can I just say something?
Are you on the way to a wedding now?
No. Well, it's especially for you.
Well, thank you very
much.
You look
like the man from Del Monte in that suit.
Thank you.
But basically, you know...
You said yes a few times, I would imagine.
Basically, the church... Oi, oi, pack it in. The church... that one. The church has this thing, you know, we will welcome anyone through our doors and everything. And really, a lot of people hide in the church. You know, you've got a lot of these people that work in churches. You see documentaries on it. They've molested children when they have been in their church.
Right.
So I don't think the church has the right to turn around and say, if you're gay, you can't get married in the church, because what goes on in a lot of churches isn't 100% anyway. Take that.
Yeah. Well, good. Of course, I know what you mean. A lot of what happens in churches ain't 100%. That's a fact.
It's inherently un-Christian to discriminate in any way. The question you should ask as a Christian is, who would Jesus do?
The big question for me is, why would anyone want to marry a bloke? But we had a bloke sleep on our sofa recently. I mean, there was a smell in the house for about 2 days.
But you have to remember that before your wife got to you, you smelt like that too.
I don't understand why anyone would want to marry anyone. I mean, get together, sure, your bill's half price. I understand. I get it. TV licence is going up, gas is going up, electric's going up. Share it with someone, but don't bring paperwork into the eventual demise of your love.
I think it's respect. If you actually marry someone, it shows that, you know, there's respect there.
Right.
Because, you know, you get a nice ring out of it, and not only that, basically, you have a fantastic day. But if you've been with someone for years and they can't even get down to Tiffany's and buy you a decent ring,
God.
Get them gold.
Do you not know where Tiffany's is?
Yeah, Bond Street.
Nip down and get one yourself then, love.
No, I'm saying that. I can buy my own ring.
Josh, what do you make of gay marriage?
I don't like going to weddings. I find it stressful. I'd just get rid of marriage.
If you don't have weddings, the only time the whole family gets together is at funerals. And that is depressing.
Very true.
Not all the family, because there's one that's...
OK, let's see if it's up there. OK, fingers on buzzers. One more thing still to get. OK, Sean.
Olympics, innit?
So what's the big Olympic story this week?
Well, they've given us a sneak preview of the Olympic opening ceremony, which is going to be a pastoral scene of old England.
by Danny Boyle.
All right, let's have a look at this model.
Basically, he looks like Springwatch. The Chinese had 10,000 Shinto drummers. We got Kate Humble and some owls. It looks like John Craven's wedding cake, doesn't it?
I don't want a... They're going, it's going to show the countryside in its true colours. I don't... I'm from the countryside. It's going to be a spa that isn't open until 3 p.m. and then, like, a motorway going through a meadow, and then a farmer shooting a dead horse. And then turning the gun on himself.
Shooting a dead horse?
That's how boring the countryside is.
There's a big Shakespeare theme to the whole thing, isn't it? There's a massive Shakespeare. They're going to have 900 people doing characters from Shakespeare running around. You're thinking, has he got the wrong Stratford?
I don't mind, to be honest. Having an opening ceremony seems sensible to me. You invite everyone, you have a big party, you go, hey, it's starting. We're spending the same amount on a closing ceremony, which is after everyone's going to have come here, beaten us at all the things we do, and then we're going to thank them with a big party going, oh, safe journey home. Sodom, at the end, we should just switch everything off and say, right, piss off, find your own way home now.
It's a solid idea, yeah.
I think it's really boring, full stop. And what is the Olympics going to do for us? What's it all about?
I don't know what... I don't know where to begin.
But how is it going to change our lives? It's not
going to change your life, no.
No. It's not going to change my life. You know, we've got the football, we've got the tennis, we've got dancing on ice. What more do you need?
Reg, what do you make of this opening ceremony?
Fantastic. I hope they do more of it.
Positive.
What anyone did would be up for ridicule. The Chinese put on such an elaborate show, it's very difficult to match. I would have done something much more simple, much cheaper. I'd have filled the Olympic Stadium with Marmite, like a big big lake of Marmite, and got Steve Redgrave to row across it.
People would say, well, I either love it or I hate it.
You're not allowed to bring food into the stadium. I don't know how they're going to stop that, you know, like meat. Like in pork pie down your trousers. We've got a meat detector, just like an archway of dogs.
That was a lovely idea. Let's have a look and see whether the Olympic opening ceremony is one of the most talked about things this week. Yes, details of the Olympic opening ceremony have been revealed. So, in the London 2012 opening ceremony, there'll be 70 sheep, 12 horses, 3 cows, 2 goats, 10 ducks and 3 dogs. In Beijing, that was just the buffet. So, at the end of that round, John, Josh and Gemma have no points. Sean, Reg and Rachel have 3 points. Welcome back to 8 out of 10 Cats. Our next round is Pick of the Polls. John, Josh and Gemma, your turn first. What do you like the look of?
Let's have the picture of Gemma.
OK. There we go. Here's your related question. Most people think their life would make a good reality TV show, true or false?
False.
Do you think false? You don't think people think...
Only if you're from Essex.
John, what do you reckon?
In truth, nobody's life is exciting. That's what telly's for, to show you things that aren't in your real life, because I do that every time.
Josh, do you watch any of these shows?
No, but I'm going to start.
It's very difficult to present yourself in an acceptable way, isn't it, if you're being filmed all the time? I mean, I can do bursts of pleasantness.
I think it's partly cultural. I think a lot of Americans think that their star is undiscovered. So they think, if I could just make this into a movie or get this on reality TV, somebody would just love it and pay me lots of money. Whereas British people kind of go out of your way to stay humble, kind of worried about getting up your own ass and stuff. So if someone came up to the average British person and said, you know, reality TV, that's for you, and they go, preposterous, because that's just...
Sean, what do you think?
True.
John, what would you
false.
Go?
False.
You're all saying false. OK, I can tell you the answer is false. Only 28% of people think their life would make a good reality TV show. What's better, Geordie Shore, Towie or Made in Chelsea? That's a bit like saying, what's more fun to catch, TB, diphtheria or rickets? Sean, Reg, Rachel, pick a question.
The beautiful picture of some shoes.
OK. This week, a study claimed that 90% of a person's characteristics can be correctly guessed from the shoes they wear. So here's your question. Most Brits judge other people by their shoes, true or false?
To me, shoes are just a barrier between dog shit and my socks.
Gemma. Do you think you judge people by their shoes?
Yeah.
Really?
It's an Essex thing.
It's an Essex...
No, what it is, if you're looking at someone as the next potential husband or date or whatever, you have to look at his shoes.
Well, take a look, then.
No, from your shoes, they're nice shoes. They're smart, they're clean, they're tidy. They look expensive. That means you're all right.
That means I'm... John, shoes.
I've got shoes on, but I don't, that was such a graceless move, though. I thought, you know, I don't want all my swaps to fall out of my back.
Yeah.
Not can many someone people... get John a new hamstring? Because that one has snapped.
Not many people know that John Richardson's got a wooden leg.
Yeah, they're nice.
A bit close to your face, that's your problem with these, isn't it?
Yeah, you're...
Are you broken? Josh, what are you rocking? What have you got?
Yeah, they're all right.
This is actually quite comfortable.
Not for me.
You have to have, like, pointy toe shoes or loafers out Russell and Bromley, and then you're all right in Essex.
Do you know that saying in Essex at the end of the sentence doesn't just make it right?
Can you judge a person by their shoes? Do you judge people by
their
shoes?
I don't normally notice shoes.
What do you mean? Look at your shoes.
Can you take yours off?
Oh.
I'm going to get me a pair of
these. If that fits me, does that mean I'm a princess?
Do you need to get down there? Shouldn't ask that, should I?
I've got a shoe here. This is my shoe. There you go. Fun-loving, carefree. Flamboyant, loves the theatre. What does this shoe say about me, then?
I think when you waggle a shoe on its own, it says homeless man.
What does it say about me?
When you drink beer out of it. A mate of mine poured beer in his shoe, and he just went, beer in a shoe. Like, it's a really brilliant idea he'd come up with. Beer in a shoe, innit?
What shoes you got on?
So
we want you to judge these shoes,
right,
Gemma.
I'm
going to
be like Simon Cowell now. Have these shoes got the X Factor? Yes, they have. But I'm not looking at him as a potential husband.
Why not?
Because I'm with someone now.
Oh my God!
You don't know.
Put your shoe away, Reg. You're not in the game.
Do you mean I wasted my time putting my shoe up?
Okay, let's get some answers on this. Most Brits judge other people by their shoes, true or false?
There's those generic shoes, aren't there? There's those shoes like everyone wears Converse. So how can you judge? I mean, millions of people wear those. Or UGG boots. Loads of people wear UGG boots.
What are you saying, Sean?
False.
You think false? What do you think, Sean?
True. 100% true.
It's 100% true. Okay, you're going true, you're going false. I can tell you the answer.
I was going to say 99% true, Jimmy.
OK, I can tell you the answer is false. Only 45% of people judge others on their shoes. 45%, though, still a lot. I went shoe shopping with my girlfriend. I asked her, which ones do you want? She told me Jimmy Choo's. So I said, all right, get the cheap ones. You can tell a lot about a woman from her shoes. For example, if they're behind her ears, she likes you. So at the end of that round, it's 1 point for John's team and 4 points for Sean's team. Welcome back to 8 out of 10 Cats. And the winner is the name of our final round. Here's your first one. Top way to prove your masculinity. What do you think?
Get the button first. Is that one?
It's that one, yeah.
I was going to that.
Yeah. It's that or that. You can't do...
Yeah! Let's make up some new ones.
Okay, top way to prove your masculinity. Reg, what do you think? What's the best way to prove you're a man?
Do what you want to do. Just walk down the street and be unaware of or not care if people look at you. Make sure that when you go somewhere, you're going the way you want to go. And when you get there, make sure you only stay as long as you want to stay. And then when you're done, come on back and go wherever you want to go. And then after a while, people will be always like, wow, you do what you want to do. You must be a man.
I'm going to do it, Reg. I'm going to do it. I'm going to follow your lead.
Yeah.
I am what I am. My own special creation. So come take... No. The whole song, man. That's quite happy. I decided to stop because I was too worried about what people would think.
Big bone. Walk around with a big...
Yeah, no, it's like an animal bone, yeah.
Like a cow's leg or something. Cow's leg. Big cow's
leg.
Walk around with that.
So, Gemma, what do you think? What's the best way for a man to prove his masculinity?
Just be like the perfect gentleman.
What would the perfect gentleman do? Is it opening car doors?
Trips to Tiffany's.
I think to show your masculinity, you have to be a geezer and just, like... let everyone know you're... But you know they're a man, because they look like a man.
Not always. I had a trip to Thailand once. So when you're saying be the perfect gentleman, you mean sort of open the door for someone, but then possibly slam their head in it.
Yeah.
Go on, you fucking toilets.
Yeah. It's hard for me to understand, because I just am. Masculine.
I think you know by their beard.
Well, it's sperm count, isn't it? That would actually prove your masculinity.
What's more masculine, though, to have, like, a million tiny ones or one massive one?
Like a big
I'm not saying I have, but...
It's like a big squid. I try and put it in the front.
I struggle with masculine people. They scare me. But the most masculine... But I was in a pub and there was two guys having a chat behind me and one of them said, oh, big night out last night. Bloody hell, do you remember when your leg caught on fire? And the other guy went, no. And I think he's the most masculine man I've ever met.
Tom, way to prove you masculine. Let's have some proper guesses, come on.
Falconry without a glove. That's right, isn't it? Just take the pain.
Changing a light bulb.
What the general term for that?
DIY. Yeah.
It's the right answer. Yes, the top way to prove your masculinity is being good at DIY. Being good at DIY certainly makes me feel more masculine. I built my own sauna, invited the guys round. It was hot. OK, best thing about being a pensioner?
Countdown.
The best thing about being a pensioner is the little wheelie trolley. Get to carry around for all the things you find. Yeah. Sometimes you see like a nice fur cone, don't you, or something like that, and you've got nowhere to put it when you're a young hip dude like what I am. But when I'm older, zip it open, I'll keep a fur cone in there. I see someone's dog I like, I'll just have that. Leave it home. What have you got? I don't know, I can't remember, but I'm sure it's fun.
In
That's
many
my voice
ways,
when I'm older.
In many ways, some people are already pensioners, aren't they, John?
The best thing about being a pensioner, I think, is that you can do what you want to do. My father's 93, and he occasionally visits a sex worker, or, as they say back home, a chicken head. And,
What the who then?
A chicken head. A woman who has sex for money to support her crack addiction.
Oh, and the chicken head is a
colloquialism. Yeah.
Sure, gotcha.
I asked him, I said, how does it go? You know, he said, well, she's a real nice young lady. And just, he said, sometime it go up, sometime it don't. But if it don't, she don't charge me. She real sweet girl.
Reg D. Hunter Sr., we salute you.
Nice when you're old, you get to tell people they're attractive and it's not pervy. Like, old people always go, oh, aren't you pretty? Aren't you Bonnie? And there's no weirdness. They're just... If you say it at my age, it's just weird. You go, oh, you're pretty.
At your age, you're in the prime years, you are a significant sexual threat.
Have you not met John? That is not a significant sexual threat.
Well, he is not a significant sexual threat to you, obviously. But to somebody out there... to somebody out there, he is a significant... sexual threat.
There's a sock. There's a sock in a drawer somewhere, quaking.
Okay, best thing about being a pensioner. It is something you don't do.
Something you don't do?
Yeah.
You don't have to work.
That's the right answer. Yes, the best thing about being a pensioner is not having to work. Of course, in the north of England, some grannies have to work well into their 30s. Well, that sound tells me it's the end of the round and the end of the show, which means the final scores are John, Josh and Gemma have 1 point, Sean, Reg and Rachel are the winners with 6 points. To all our panelists, our wonderful studio audience, and to all of you for watching at home. That's it from us. Good night.